2008 to close the emergency departments because they would have had the beds in place.
Well,
then.
Finances aren't going to get any better.
Well, we know but we've just heard from him and from Gary and from Neil Johnson, I believe it was, that we'd have the beds in place by 2008. Shouldn't we have waited until then to close down the beds?
Well, because then you're still draining resources, you know, with all the emergencies. This is supposed to be a more concise way of dealing with emergencies.
643-1290 or star 1290 on your Rogers Wireless. Good morning, Bob.
Hi, guys.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, I'm feeling terrible. I cannot believe what I heard on the radio this morning.
Okay, what'd you hear?
Your guest, you know, Dr. Huber, was just depressing what he was telling us. He's painting a picture of a national disaster in the making and making it sound like it's a great improvement. He's talking about the new hospital emergency room has better shared waiting rooms,
mm-hmm.
and that they've got new bed strategies, which means discharging people into waiting areas.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they get rid of longer-term patients. He says we're going to be potentially operational by 2008. Mm-hmm. He tells us there's no place for beds, that one bed costs $500,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
to operate, let alone capital costs.
Mm-hmm.
I know where this is going.
Now, I just can't believe anyone would work in that environment.
Yeah.
It just stuns me that people who are smart enough to operate on our internal organs cannot figure out that one and one is two, and economics has to be a personal matter. That the problem here is we don't have enough doctors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you want doctors, you've got to get rid of government-run health care. Period. That's the only hope we have. I'm getting into my 50s. I'm looking forward to a hellhole as far as a hospital's concerned, and yet that same government has taken half of the earnings of every living person in this country for that health care system. And we could have had a million times better one if you just pay your own way and pay $20 every now and then for a doctor.
That's all you think it would cost, though, Bob? You think it would only cost $20 now and then?
Absolutely. I just went to an eye doctor for an emergency situation, private. Sorry, it cost me $40, okay? Why should you have to pay for my $40 bill? Look, I can understand having an insurance system to cover for catastrophic illness, but to have a free-for-all that is just... That's all it can be. It's just a rationing system. And the lines get longer and longer and longer and longer, and all they offer us is better ways to manage the lines. Well, if you want to see how to manage lines, you go to Disney World.
But, Bob, I don't understand how it could only cost $20 or $40 when we have a private system for dental work, and it costs significantly more than that. In fact, we received an email this morning from
I have very bad teeth. I go regularly to the dentist. An average... visit costs me, and I have no insurance, costs me around, I would say, $79 to $100.
Mm-hmm.
That would be an average visit.
Yeah, unless you have work to be done on your teeth.
Sorry?
Unless you have to have work done on your teeth.
Well, the most expensive thing I've ever had done is a root canal and a crown, and that's around $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, that's pretty significant.
Well, that might be, but I still paid it out of my own pocket. Mm-hmm. It's morally inappropriate for me to go to you and expect you to pay for it. I mean, and especially to hire the government to go and pull a gun on you and say, pay for Bob Metz's teeth, please.
But if I have to go into the hospital, a lot of people wouldn't be able to afford $2,500 a day.
First of all, the reason the costs are so high is all part of the system. When you have shortages of things, everything gets expensive. And when you only have one doctor for 1 million people, can you imagine how expensive that one doctor is going to be?
Bob, what about the system in the States? Your proposal would be an American style system.
Absolutely not. The United States is as bad off as we are. They have a quadrillion dollar debt. They have Medicare. They have socialized medicine. Please don't tell me they don't. They do. I even know people who are on it and go to it regularly.
They have socialized.
But they also have private health care.
They have private. They have socialized medicine for those who can't afford it, which means they do not get the same service as those who can afford it.
Look what we're getting. Well, we can't get worse than what we're getting. waiting in lines and having planned. The idea of me being sick and even thinking of going to a hospital to have to wait for longer than 5 minutes almost makes me think maybe I'll pick death over going in there.
Mm.
It really is that upsetting. I do not like the idea of waiting when people are in critical care. Cancer doesn't wait in a queue. Pain does not wait. And I've seen people in my own family who have very serious disease who've been waiting months and months longer than is necessary.
Yeah.
Just because of the waiting rooms, no doctors, going to the hospital repeatedly in ambulances and being turned home.
And I think what you'll see, Bob, and you see it quite often, you pick up any major newspaper in Canada, any major newspaper in Toronto, and what you'll see is these large full-scale ads for clinics in the United States that says, say, no waiting time, come ahead and we will serve you. And
absolutely.
I'm sure you've seen that.
You know, the issue of helping people who don't have money is an entirely separate issue from monopolizing, taking over the doctors, and running the whole healthcare system. It's like, you know, we view everything that way. Because we want to help the poor, we think we have to monopolize what we think are essential services, which is nonsensical.
Bob, you know what? We could argue about this till the cows come in, and I don't want to do that. But I do want to mention something. Is that we talk as if we're subsidizing the poor here. We're subsidizing the middle class as well, because medicine is inaffordable.
Subsidizing everyone, Morris.
Yes.
You're right.
You know, and it's not affordable for anyone, which is why we have the system we have. I don't believe privatizing it will make it any more accessible or make it any more cheaper. I know you don't agree with that.
Why do you not believe that? Like, I mean, in every other area in the world where privatization exists, it's less expensive, better quality, and it's cheaper. And then you're saying, well, you can't believe it.
No, you know what?
You know?
I believe it's better, and there's less of a queue for the people that have money. I believe that the majority of people still queue, still wait in line, and still don't have the type of service that people with money do in a system that deals with privatized healthcare. You know,
But the point is not to put everybody in a line that's 10 times longer. Look, if you have a limited supply of something, that's just the way it is. But the thing is, in a capitalist free economy, the supply generally always exceeds the demand. That's why when you go down to Florida, where I was just 3 years ago, medical clinics in the grocery store mall, two blocks away, a huge hospital. You walk into any of the rooms, empty, no waiting.
Yeah.
You get the idea? No waiting.
Well, one of the
and it wasn't expensive to go in and have a checkup. You only need insurance for major, you know, life-threatening things that are immediate. And that can be supplied for a nickel.
Bob, thank you.
But just before you go, Bob, I'll just make one more point. And let's remember that it's the people that become sickest that have no income, that can't work. And how are those people going to pay for their private health care?
Again, not by taking over the health care system.
Right.
You help them. Welfare is an entirely different thing. Our whole medical system is just one big welfare system. But it's not even that, because there's no safety net. The idea of a safety net is the poor are inside the net, the wealthier are outside the net holding it up. But our safety net has no one holding it up. Everyone's inside it, and the thing's falling down, just heading for the ground.
All right. Thanks, Bob. We appreciate your views as always.
Thanks.
643-1290 or star 1290 on your Rogers Wireless. We're going to a break, but do you support Bob? His theory is let's go to a private health care system. And you are listening to Megan and Morris in the Morning on News Talk 1290, CJB.
Good morning. Welcome back to Megan and Morris in the Morning. We're talking about closing of the emergency. It's sort of developed into a private public healthcare system, thanks to Bob, who is a big advocate of it. We're going to go to Bev. Bev, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. You know, he's right.
Okay.
There are private clinics right here in London, and there's some in Toronto. I don't know why everybody's, you know, having such a hullabaloo over it. Because when the doctor thought I had a hernia, he said, go to Toronto, you can have it done today. You know, as much as the government doesn't want to say there's private clinics, there are private clinics
that are being, that the government is looking to penalize.
Whatever, but they're operating, and they seem to be operating better than what the government is.
And
there's one thing I want to say, actually,
yes,
is that the government gave, I think it was $450 million to Tosami. I have nothing against giving to those poor people in Tosami thing, okay?
Yes.
I mean, where did they get this money from, and how come it wasn't put into our medical care before this disaster happened? Where was this money?
Heck, they gave $400 million to the Windsor Casino, didn't they? Or what did they give to the casino?
Yes, where did they get the casino? I mean, I don't understand this. As a Canadian citizen paying taxes, I do not understand how this government works. They give the rest of it to Quebec, and then they give it away so freely. But where did they have this little pot of gold? This is what I want to know.
No, they've got it somewhere, obviously.
I mean, it's not given to the hospitals, is it?
Yeah. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it,
Bev. Okay. Have a good day, guys.
You too. Our phone lines are lit up, so make your point, and away we go.
643-1290. Good morning, Garish.
Good morning. Your last two callers sound very much like PR men for the American Medical Association.
Yes.
I'll tell you what one fallacy I'd like to comment on and perhaps remove from the minds of your people is this. That we have no doctors in this province or in this country. We have many excellent doctors from abroad who are employed by the pizza shops.
Yes.
So all of you there who do not have a doctor to register with, anytime you want to see a doctor, quotation mark see, order a pizza and you will see a doctor.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a real issue. And it's going to take at least a couple of years before we can take those people from whether it's wherever they're from overseas and qualify them as doctors here, unfortunately. But there is a large source of doctors out there that need to be qualified by Canadian standards. And
We need to put an extra effort into qualifying them as quickly as possible.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Garish. Appreciate
it. 643-1290. Good morning, Rob.
Hi.
Hi.
I'd like to comment that when I'm heading to the west sometimes in the vicinity of Detroit, I pick up a Detroit radio station from time to time after CJB pay starts to fade out,
yes.
Of course, but and the commercials I listen to there are overwhelmingly the commercials, like the quantity of them are from doctors and hospitals.
Yes.
You know, soliciting for their business. And the commercials, they're not grim clinical commercials. They're light and airy and kind of funny and quirky, you know. And one of them guarantees that when you come to the Emerge, you will be seen by a doctor in no less than a half an hour.
Yes.
I find that really refreshing that they're actually advertising for business. You know, they want business
because they know that many Canadians will pay who are worried about the health will pay if they can will pay to get seen. And we've seen giant ads. We have seen huge ads in major newspapers, full page ads that advertise private clinics that do everything from MRIs to absolutely anything for a price, of course, but they do advertise.
Yeah, we're close to Detroit. I'm not sure it's because Canadians have anything to do with that. I'm sure that, in New Orleans, they probably, they're probably advertising too. You know, that's just what it is. You know, they want business and they've got people that, that will do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. They want to attract Canadians. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Take care.
Thanks, Rob. 643-1290. Hi, Ziad.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. I'm not going to give you a solution here. I'm going to give you another problem.
Okay.
Let's say we all went to private health, and let's assume that we all can afford the insurance. What's going to happen to the people that have already been sick with cancer? Who's going to insure that?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody.
Mm-hmm. That's right. No insurance company will take them on.
Nope. So I don't think we can do that.
That's a great point. Yeah. Thanks for the calls, Ziad. And, I wish somebody had a solution instead of another problem. But Ziad's absolutely right. What about those that are already suffering?
And our phone lines are open. Good morning, Scott.
Morning, Megan. Good morning, Morris. How are you, too?
Good, Scott. Good, thanks.
Good. We need to really save on with our universal Medicare program. And maybe even, get the government to start funding more on it. But we cannot start even thinking of privatizing, because just as your last caller said, what is going to happen to the people that are, you know, are being looked after now with our Medicare as a cancer patient or somebody with a heart attack or something? Those will be very high risk. The probability is that, yeah, they might get insured, but they're going to pay big bucks for it. And I mean, who has that money?
Yeah.
You know, and Bob's comment of you know, paying $40 for an eye doctor and all whatnot, I'm give me the name of that doctor. I want to know who he is, because he's got to be doing something pretty good to be giving rates like that. But you know, the thinking is, you know, he doesn't want to pay for my medical, you know, looking after me medically or whatnot.
Right.
Is that the same thinking of that? Since I don't have any children, I shouldn't be paying my taxes to public schooling?
Well, I'll tell you, there's the and the comment, quite frankly, is that we are a community. And, you know, if you don't believe in a community system, then I think Bob would talk about the ultimate in socialism. But if you don't believe in the ultimate community, then of course you don't believe. You believe everybody's pocket.
We are all raised yes. to help and look after each other. And if that means that some of my taxes are going to go to get, you know, more maybe a brain transplant or something at some point, like, you know, go for it, right?
Thanks.
Because I you know, now I'm only teasing you, Mars. You know, but it's we have to look after each other. I mean, if not, then it is going to turn into the states where if you don't have money, you're going to bleed. If the community hospitals don't have room for you, or if your wife goes into labor and yeah. you don't have insurance or a Visa card, well, you know,
in trouble.
Sorry about that. Yeah, you know, your baby's going to be born in the alleys or something. Yeah. And that's very scary, and we cannot have that kind of thinking here.
Great, thanks, Scott. We do have to let you go because our phone lines are lit up, and we only have a few minutes.
Enjoy.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks,
appreciate
Scott.
The call.
Let's go to Thomas. Hi, Thomas.
Good morning, Megan. Martin Morris.
Hi, Thomas.
Okay. Friday morning in the Free Press, one of your colleagues, Ian Gillespie.
Yes.
He had a great article. Medical blunders bring tragedy. Now, why I bring this to fore is that, you know, there's definitely a need for medical care, but I think we need to bring a more inclusive point of view. And in the article, just to be brief, it says as many as 23,750 patients die each year in Canada due to medical blunders.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we need to talk about that.
Okay.
Thanks, Thomas.
Okay,
and,
you're welcome.
Yeah.
And let's go to Bob. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Snow Queen. How are you?
Good, thanks.
What do you call yourself now that it's spring? Spring chicken?
Yeah. Well, there you go. Perhaps I will.
Listen, just a small question. If we can't handle the doctors that we have in our two hospitals now, what are we going to do for the Shriners Hospital? I'll hang up and listen to you talk.
Oh,
that's a good question. But they do have specialists to deal with that. That's they are training. We were told that there would be no problem with that. That everything is in place for that. And
that the Shriners doctors coming from Montreal when they close that hospital.
Some of them may be coming. Yeah. So there's apparently there's no problem.
And we'll have
with
to
that.
Look into that as well, Bob. So I'm not certain. And
it's a good question. Yeah, but that's already been dealt with. That's
and let's try to get these last few callers in before the break. Hi, Ted.
Hi. I just can't believe that people feel they're so entitled to everything in this country. You know, when they brought in socialized medicine, there was a premium you had to pay,
mm-hmm.
and you paid it. And I tell you, there should be a every time people go to the doctor, there should be for anything, there should be a $20 fee. Mr. Metz there. You know, we're in such a lot of denial in this country that I don't think it's the system's going to work anymore because we don't have enough people working and paying enough taxes to pay for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not happening.
And remember,
I mean, denial is just not a river in Africa. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, anyway.
Ted, we are
I'm very fortunate that I'm healthy. I'm 60 years old. And I tell you, I'll be happy to. The big problem is people are living too long.
Yeah.
There's a lady I know. She's so proud because she's getting two new knees. They're second ones. She's in her 80s. You know, and I just feel like, holy cow, you know.
Yeah.
And she feels so entitled and she's got to wait for so long.
And Ted, let's remember now we are all paying an additional premium through our health tax right now, too.
So paying taxes, lots of taxes, yeah.
Thanks,
Ted. That wasn't designed that way.
No, I know. And thanks for the call. We're going to let you go so we can take one more call. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks.
good. I'll just be quick. Unfortunately, when it comes to health care or politicians or anything, it boils right down to money. And what really infuriates me is I wish I could explain my whole thought process behind what I'm going to give you a little tidbit here. But when politicians start wheeling around our money and they start talking about millions and billions, it's not even millions anymore, it's billions. And it's hard for the average person to grasp what $1 billion is. I know I'd like to be a millionaire. And it was explained to me the difference between a million and a billion. $1 million, and put it into layman's terms, in seconds, is 11 and a half days. Now, to put it into terms of $1 billion, it's 32 years. That's the difference between a million and a billion. So when they start, unfortunately, it all has to do with money. And I don't know the dynamics of how they could fix the healthcare system with the problem is you have people that need the care, you have doctors that give out the care, and then you have the politicians that have the money.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, thanks for adding that perspective. That's pretty clear, Jeff. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, and we are going to have to leave it there because the Red Steve Roberts, although I don't